Hi, everyone. Just wanted to let you know that Jim and Steve Watch a Show are now on social media. Please follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Jim and Steve Watch a Show. There, you can find out what TV show they will be watching next to enhance your listening experience. Also, feel free to give them suggestions for shows to watch or even a nerd challenge idea. Thanks for listening.
And then you're going to do today.
The day in nerd history, which is actually today's date, this one is.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, let me save this.
Deep cut.
Is it?
Oh, yes.
Awesome. All right. Well, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Jim and Steve watch a show. They watch a show that you've never seen.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to Jim and Steve Watch a Show, Season 3, Episode 1. In this episode, we're going to be taking a look at Alice in Borderland. My name is Jim.
And my name is Steve.
And Steve, would you like to tell everybody what our podcast is all about?
Every week we go to the streaming services. We try to find a show that maybe you've never heard of or you looked over for some reason. We watch the first episode, we review it, and then we tell you whether or not we'd watch the entire first season.
Yes, and in our season opener, we're going to be taking a look at a show called Alice in Borderland. I'd like to start off with some basic background info about the show. So, Steve, what did you find out?
Alice in Borderland is a Japanese, I guess I'd call it like an action sci-fi, a sprinkling of mystery, at least from the first episode.
Yeah.
It is 2 seasons. Rumor has it there's going to be a season 3. Has not yet been announced, though. First season, 8 episodes, released on December 10th of 2020. Second season, also 8 episodes, released December 22nd of 2022. If you follow that, I expect season 3 to be December of this year.
Yeah.
There are, I'd say, 3 main characters in this. There is Ariso, Chato, and Karube. We'll get into that a bit more. It is on Netflix. It said 40 to 80 minutes. I'm betting that the season finale is like a double episode, and maybe that's where the 80 comes from. But this came in about like 40, 41 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be a little longer than that, but there's a lot of credits. I think that happens on the international shows. You get about
there's a lot of credits.
5 or 6 minutes of credits.
It's like 40. Watching a Marvel movie.
Yeah, it's like we're going to do the credits in this language, and then this language, and this language, and so on. It was a pretty easy, a medium running time, about 40 minutes. So it's not 120 minutes or anything. So
This is kind of in the wheelhouse for most American shows, too.
Yeah.
40 to 45 minutes.
Yeah, felt pretty well paced. Okay, so on to our summary challenge. So in our summary challenge, we like to try to summarize the plot points of the very first episode in a minute or so. We both take turns at that, and this time around, since
you are up.
Yeah, I'm up. And luckily for me, not a lot of characters in this. And I would say probably for the first 20 minutes or so, not a lot of action. So I think I'm going to have a pretty good concise look at how this goes. So this show opens in Tokyo, Japan, and it kind of follows 3 different friends. Just gives you little segments out of their lives. One's a gamer. One's kind of a businessman, I guess, or works in some kind of corporate field. And one guy's kind of like tough guy. I don't know, something like that. They're kind of hanging out downtown, and they cause a disturbance and run into either a building or a subway. And they come back out, and all of a sudden, all the people in the city have disappeared. They're trying to figure out what's going on. A building lights up and tells them to get ready to play a game. They wander into this building and into this room. They meet 2 other girls, and one of them tells them they need to play the game or they're going to be killed. And not to spoil too much, basically the first game is trying to escape from one room to another without getting killed. And I think that's probably about as far as I'm going to go. So that's my summary.
Very good. Very good.
All right. So what do you
got? Mine's probably going to sound eerily similar to that.
I'm sure. So,
Alice in Borderland, as you say, takes place in Tokyo, Japan. You have three friends that are in their 20s. You have kind of a slacker that plays video games. You have a guy that works in an office, and you have a guy that's a bartender. All three of them are having a very bad day. So office worker skips work. Video game guy gets kicked out of his house, and the bartender loses his job. So they all meet up. They're messing around. They cause a minor car accident. They duck into a bathroom to avoid the police. And as you say, everyone just suddenly disappears. Yep. They are trying to figure it out. They're not able to. There's no electricity. And then all of a sudden, a building lights up and says, this way to play the game. They follow it, end up in a building. I think the reason why it's called Alice in Borderland is they actually cross what I would call an electronic border. Mm-hmm. And once you've crossed it, you are now in the game. You have to try to escape this building room to room. And there's a timer that ticks down each room that you're in.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Excellent. And I guess I got the sense that that's just like the first game. There's going to be different games, right?
I mean, like I definitely think each episode is going to be a different game,
a different kind of game. All right. So hopefully that gives you a good idea about what the first episode is all about. So now we're on to points of interest and clarification one might need to be better informed about the show and enjoy the show. So what did you have here?
You know, this is one of those shows where I don't think you need to have a lot of Japanese cultural background to just kind of pick it up and watch it. It's a modern show, and it's very straightforward, at least so far, with the plot. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of like little mysteries kind of sprinkled in there that I think they're going to get more into as the show goes on. But for anything culturally, I don't think you need to really know much.
Yeah, I had the same kind of thing. I mean, you might, if you have an affinity for Japanese culture, you'll probably like this. But you don't necessarily have to know anything about Japanese culture in order to get it. Maybe some familiarity with or either video gaming, or if you like gaming, this show will probably appeal to you.
Yeah.
I was trying to think what this genre falls into, because it reminded me of this movie, and it's been forever since I've seen this movie called...
Is it Escape Room?
No.
Okay, because that's what this reminded me of.
Yeah, but it was called The Cube.
I've seen,
you know, and I don't know if that's just because the first episode is kind of like that, but right. I kept thinking like there's kind of a genre of either TV shows and movies that are kind of like this, where you need to, I don't know what the best way to say it is. You kind of navigate something, escape something. So if you like that kind of show, this will be right up your alley.
I guess one point of interest is this was based on a graphic novel of the same name.
Oh,
so okay. If you enjoy comics or graphic novels or this type of show, then you might find some enjoyment in any of those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's interesting because I was trying to place it in my head too, because there are certain shows that, like Running Man.
Yes and no, because
one's actively hunting you, but you're in a show.
Yeah,
and this kind of felt like you're kind of in a show. Well, in my mind, I thought this was going to be like you get sucked into a video game before I watched it, but this is more like you're in an involuntary game show.
I mean, now that you say sucked into a video game, I mean it has a little Tron kind of vibe to it, right?
Like it's kind of like a meatloaf of a bunch of different shows that are somewhat similar but not really.
Yeah, and I was trying to think, like, could I pinpoint this genre and say, hey, if you like this genre, you'd like this. But yeah, I think meatloaf of
it's tricky. Take all the leftovers, bake them together, and there's your show.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so as far as positives and strengths of the show, what did you like about it?
So this is a Netflix show, and I was actually very, very impressed knowing how populous of a city Tokyo is. Mm-hmm. They did a really good job, either through CGI or practical effects, of making it empty.
Yeah,
many shows, whenever they say, oh, everyone disappeared, in the background you might see an airplane or you might see like somebody walking, and not that. I mean, this was an empty city.
I wondered about that too, because I think that's the most busy intersection in Tokyo.
In the world, maybe. I mean, there's
and there's so many people. Yeah, and the stills of that being empty, I don't know either. I started to think to myself, did they stop all the pedestrians and traffic?
But you wouldn't think it'd be possible. Like, it has to be CGI, but it was good.
Yeah, but it was well done. Yeah, I definitely bought the illusion.
And the effects within the game itself, I thought were all very good. Sure. You know, nothing was clearly like, oh, that's fake. I mean, it was good.
No, I agree completely. The other thing I liked about it was that it kind of took its time. Like within the first 20 minutes or so, there were just some shots that reminded me of like older shows that kind of take their time. Not a lot of cuts, not super frenetic, or just sort of like building to something. And I like that. And then the back half of the show got a little bit more intense and exciting.
Well, it kind of gave you a chance to meet the characters.
Exactly.
You know, there was a movie, I think it was called The Hunt, where all these people get knocked out and the show begins with them waking up in this field and immediately they're getting killed.
Yeah.
And you didn't even have a chance to know what their names were. And it's like, well, do I care? Because you don't even know who they are. This gave you a chance to kind of understand who these people are.
Yeah, it did a really nice job with that. It's like I started to care a little bit about each one and kind of their dynamic, and then the quote unquote
get into it
fun starts. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I liked is that one of the character shirts said sunny climate in English. And I always think that's interesting where like, you wonder when you wear something with a foreign language, like what it says.
What it really says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if they, it was just sort of a weird, it was just a weird quirk. It's like his shirt just said sunny climate. I was like, I don't know. I just thought that was kind of fun.
No, for sure.
As far as weaknesses or drawbacks, were there anything about it that you.
I had two.
Okay.
First one, and this is Christmas Chronicle vibes. If you enjoy BMWs, you'll like a part of this show. And it was so funny because as they were entering the building where the game began, I noticed that they completely framed that BMW. And I'm like, maybe product placement, maybe just coincidence. And then like 5 minutes later, it was definitely on purpose.
Yeah.
And so I mean, you got to pay for the show. I get it. But it's just some are more blatant than others. Then the other issue I had was how they figured out the game. It was quite the leap in logic to me.
It was.
That he's like, well, that's the same kind of car my dad has, and it's this many centimeters long. So if I pace out this room and I draw this map that I remember from one glance at the wall, I can figure this whole thing out, even though they took an elevator down to a different floor of the building.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand the BMW. I mean, I didn't understand why the BMW was part of the problem solving process either.
Because it's product placement.
I also started thinking, I'm like, oh, wait a second. Like, yeah, who knows down to the like centimeter how long their
like
car
I've
is.
Owned one of my cars for 16 years. I couldn't probably tell you within a foot of how long it actually is.
So now that's a challenge, right? Now you have to go out and like
pace your car in metric
and make sure that you know, because you might be trapped someday. Yeah,
you never know. Exactly.
you might need to know. Yeah, I thought that was a little bit odd, how in the problem solving was a little bit iffy. I think that if every single show is just them escaping some kind of danger, obviously it's going to get repetitive. It looks like they're setting it up for a larger, bigger narrative.
Yes.
But you didn't get much of that in that first episode. So whatever that bigger narrative is, I'm guessing you're going to get that in episodes 2 and 3. For me, that's going to really kind of make or break it.
Well, and there were a lot of hints, especially at the end, that this is happening in multiple locations across the city.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping there's going to be like a coming together of all of the people that are in this game. And they also use a deck of cards. I think this was 3 of clubs.
Yeah.
And they were saying that the number on the card is how difficult the challenge is. So that would suggest maybe this is a lower, easier challenge.
Right.
And so I think you'll up kind of everything gets stakes get higher as you go.
Well, I'd probably fail miserably because I don't know how long my car is. And
and I didn't look at the fire escape plan.
Yeah. But I mean, they did say that the background of that one character, he's like a genius at games. So if we take that leap of faith, then maybe makes sense.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know if you ever as a kid read Encyclopedia Brown books.
No, I know of them, but I didn't. So, yeah.
They always upset me because each one was a mystery, like a little short mystery. And he was Encyclopedia Brown because he had a photographic memory. So he remembered everything. Okay. And it always used to frustrate the crap out of me because he would solve the mystery with something that there's just like no chance of you being a 10-year-old kid ever figuring out on your own. But because he had this photographic memory, he would figure it out. Yeah. And I kind of felt like this fell into that category. Like 99 out of 100 people would not even grab one of the straws that he did, let alone all three to put this together in what, like a minute and a half.
Yeah. This show would have been over pretty soon for most people.
Yeah. I was thinking, wouldn't you just open each door and look in the ceiling and see if there's a laser?
Yeah. Unless that, and then
if it's not there, you just go to you go in that room. And if it does, then you go to the other. I mean, that's just me though.
Yeah. That's not applying your vast knowledge of automobile dimensions.
Or like take your pants off and like kind of wave them through the door and see if they get shot and then be like, okay, we're safe. But again, that's just me.
Yeah.
I'll look silly, probably, but I'll live.
Yeah. There are probably some better ways to solve this than relying on your gamer friend. So, all right. So those are some weaknesses and drawbacks. So the question would be, would you watch the entire season here? And actually there's two, potentially three seasons. So knowing that, are you on board?
You know, I would say I lean much more towards yes, but your comment, if episodes 2 and 3 are basically, they're in a no-win situation, but one of them just magically pulls the answer out of a hat, then I think that would wear on me.
Yeah,
if it gets more interesting and it continues this in a fun way, then I think yes.
Yeah. Yeah. If like each one of them magically has some skill that helps them solve the thing, that's fine. As long as it's not overextended.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
If the next puzzle involves mixing drinks, okay. They have a bartender. But right. If the next one's like, well, I remember one time that I shattered a bottle on the floor and I saw in the reflection of that glass, I'm like, okay, now I'm checking out.
I'm out. They did introduce, I mean, the two girls just kind of showed up out of nowhere. And plus at the end, you sort of see like maybe this champion or hero or something. So it'd be interesting to see where that goes.
Right.
I would say that if, you know, I think I say this every time, if I watch the second or third episode and get a better sense of that bigger narrative, then yeah, this could be a lot of fun. If it's like you said, that's how do we miraculously solve this no win puzzle every time?
Then
not so much.
So three episodes, absolutely yes. If it doesn't keep getting better, then probably that's it for me.
Yeah, I agree. And I would have to say, even at, you know, 40 some minutes, it went by pretty quick and I was entertained. So that was all good.
It was a fast watch.
So how does this rank compared to some of the other shows that we reviewed? Well, this is the first of the season and I don't know if we want to compare it to what we watched, last season, or if you want to just start fresh and say that it's the first one we watched. So it's number one. How do you want to take it?
I almost feel like we should just start fresh because we were kind of going between The Neighbor and Marenghi's Dark Place. And this is so different from either of those.
Yep.
I don't know how I could really place it. And I mean, obviously we're going to have to within the confines of the season with the other shows that we pick,
sure.
But against those two, I don't know. Yeah, I just don't know how I'd put it.
That's really difficult. So we'll just say that
number one.
It's number one. Alice in Borderland as of right now. Okay, so next we're going to move on to a little segment we call This Day in Nerd History. And Stevie did a little research and wanted to share about something that interesting that happened.
This is a deep cut nerd history fact.
Yeah.
On this day in 1998, Sonny Bono died.
Oh.
He died in a skiing accident.
I was just going to say skiing, yeah.
Yes. If you don't know him, he was a musician. He was married to Cher for a while. But the reason why it's a nerd history fact is he played the character Joe Salucci in a little movie called Airplane 2. Where he snuck a briefcase bomb onto shuttle.
That's right.
And it was like, it was such a weird, but also a really good pick.
Yes.
Because you would never, if you don't know Sonny Bono at all, you would never, ever expect him to be in a role like this. And it was just so funny to me that, that they used him in that role.
And he was so like, just like.
Like not him.
Yeah. It's just kind of crazy and animated. Yeah. And And Airplane 2 as a sequel, that's an odd one in itself. It's got William Shatner in it.
Yes, it does. And it's more or less a rehash of Airplane 1, but this time in space.
In space. Which, I mean, but it's still
totally hilarious, and I love both of those movies. But whenever I saw that today was the anniversary of his death, I'm like, my mind just went immediately to Airplane 2. And I said, okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think... You know, my earliest memory of Sonny Bono was when he was a guest on Scooby-Doo with he and Cher.
Yes.
Because when you were a kid back then, you're watching these Scooby-Doo shows that were in reruns. And I had no idea who these people were oftentimes because it's about 10 years or more after.
And there's no way to find out as a kid unless you ask your parents if you'd think to even do that.
Yeah. So I just remember, Sonny and Cher showed up. I'm like.
A funny Scooby-Doo thing, both of my kids are obviously younger than we are, and they're like, do they always have the Harlem Globetrotters on? I'm like, a lot, actually. It seemed like they're on there a lot.
Yeah, they really do. And I could never keep track of, like, I mean, as a kid, you just saw all of those in syndication, but I know that there was, like, kind of the original show, then there was, like, a show after it, and then there was one that was just guest stars, and they would mix all those together when you were a kid.
It was, like, one long thing.
And I think the Harlem Globetrotters were at least in two or three of those episodes. I remember that quite a bit.
So you can solve anything with basketball.
Some team called the Generals or something.
Yeah, that's who they always played.
Yeah. So that was a good one. Well done.
They said deep cut.
Deep cut. All right. So, well, I hope everybody enjoyed our first episode of season 3. Again, we took a look at Alice in Borderland. Please join us next week as we pick another show out of the streaming universe to watch and review. So, as always, I am Jim.
I am Steve. Thank you very much.
Jim and Steve, I'll watch a show. They'll watch a show to Scooby-Dooby-Doo.